Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the show. Our email address, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Thanks for tuning in today. Monday is the official Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. At Ball State University, classes are off, but it's the start of Unity Week, which celebrates diversity at the school. Students at Ball State and other schools can participate in the Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service, meant to challenge folks to make it a day on, not a day off. The Muncie Bar Association is joining other legal groups around the state for a day of service on Monday, which they call the annual Talk to a Lawyer Day. Most courts are closed, so attorneys will be available to give brief, free legal advice. In Muncie, this is at the Maring Hunt Library on High Street and the Bewley Community Center on Penn Street from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday. There's also a statewide English and Spanish-speaking call-in line, 800-266-2581, that will be available from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ralph Dowling is a Muncie lawyer and former president of the Delaware County Bar Association.
You know, one of the biggest questions we tend to get are in the areas of landlord-tenant law. People tend to have a real lack of understanding of exactly what leases provide for. And when they come in with problems, we often have to explain to them that they're in a bad way legally. And there are sometimes creative alternatives that can be explored, but they just want to know what their options are when they have a problem with a landlord. And that happens a lot.
When you do things online, so many times I'm looking at a screen that says, click here if you agree. And there's probably, you know, six pages of text there that I've not read. And do you think that we're not doing a very good job in general of reading our leases and all of the paperwork that we're signing and agreeing to?
Nobody reads all the paperwork that they sign. And remember, I believe it was Chief Justice Roberts, one of the conservative justices on the Supreme Court, admitted that he usually doesn't read those sorts of agreements himself because he doesn't have the time, and no one really does. And the problem for most people is even if they read it, they don't really understand everything that it means, and they don't want to go pay a lawyer to look at it before they sign it. So they just kind of hope for the best.
Are there some common things that you should be looking out for when you're looking at a lease?
Well, the biggest thing that people need to be aware of that they aren't is if it isn't in the lease in writing and signed, it doesn't have to be done by the landlord. So if the landlord has promised you repairs, has promised you maintenance, has promised you they're going to do X, Y, and Z, if it's not in the lease, they're not obliged to do it, and they usually won't.
We're in some ways becoming more of a do-it-yourself society, I think. For instance, if you are looking at how to change the oil on your car or something like that, you can probably find a YouTube video. Are you running into people who are tempted to try to handle their own real estate purchases and things like that?
We do run into a lot of that, and often by the time it comes into our offices, as well as to the Ask a Lawyer Day, the mistake's already been made, and it's sometimes harder to fix, frequently even, than it would have been to do it right in the first place. The Indiana Supreme Court has on its website it's called the Pro Se Legal Project. It allows people to log on there and find some information about how to represent yourself in various types of cases. And they've got some videos and they've got some forms that people can use. But it's very limited in terms of subject matter. And it often, again, is something people do after the problem's been created rather than before. And they find themselves going to court over a problem they should have solved before they signed papers.
Is there a typical example of a matter that a person might be able to handle?
Well, we rarely advise people that it's a good idea to represent themselves in anything that's in court, particularly because no matter how smart they are, they don't know how to make a proper objection. They don't know how to respond to an improper objection. They don't know how to get exhibits admitted into evidence. If the case is in small claims court, the evidence rules are relaxed, and so non-represented parties have a better chance there than elsewhere. But even then, it's usually helpful to have a lawyer. The problem is, if there's $500 at stake, you may just want to pay the $500 to go to court and take your chances if that's the worst thing that could happen to you because you don't want to pay a lawyer more than $500 to save $500.
What advice would you have for somebody who is thinking or trying to figure out if they need a lawyer and where to find one?
That's always a difficult question to answer, and it really depends upon the field. law tends to be very specialized in certain fields. For example, if you have a major personal injury case, you don't want to go to just any lawyer. Most lawyers advertise to at least handle one, but some of them have little or no experience. If it's a simple contract case, you want to go to a firm that does business law, if you can afford that that firm, because that's what they're going to have expertise in. For a lot of matters, simple matters like wills, divorces, anybody really who advertises that they do family law or probate law can handle those simple matters. You don't have to do a lot of shopping. But I think particularly in a community this size here in Delaware County and in the surrounding counties, ask some friends who've had lawyers who's done a good job for them, because it's the best recommendation you're normally going to get. And there's no professional organization here in the county that recommends. Another option is to go through Martindale Hubbell, which is a professional lawyer directory service. And they have peers review other lawyers and rate them. And they rate them from AV, BV, CV, and it's all explained on their website. A is best, B is pretty good, C means they're adequate, both in terms of their ethics and their skill as evaluated by their peers. And so that's meaningful.
Often, depending on what television program is on, there's always a few commercials on for people, I guess, from the plaintiff's bar offering legal services. What's going on there? Should you hire a lawyer based on a television commercial?
No. You should maybe get names of people and an indication of what kind of law they say they handle from a commercial, but then do your homework by talking to other people. Or go talk to the attorney and ask them about their experience in the field of your case before you commit to hiring them. Many of us will do free consultations. I do free consultations on all my personal injury cases and my appellate cases, and one of the things people often want to know is, how many of these have you done before? And you can find out face-to-face. Many of those commercials will say, right in the commercial, in the small print at the bottom, don't make your attorney decision based upon a commercial. And that part is correct. You see a lot more advertising, one, because it's become socially more acceptable for lawyers to advertise for business than it was 20 years ago. And two, because Indiana has relaxed to some extent some of their ethical rules about what lawyers are allowed to do to advertise. Although under a recent change, they've restricted some of that. It's not television commercial related, but about personal solicitations of clients. So yeah, you see a lot of it, and it gives you names of people, and it gives you an idea where to look. But do your homework before you make a decision based upon a commercial.
Ralph Dowling is a Muncie lawyer and former president of the Delaware County Bar Association, which is joining other legal groups around the state for a day of service on Monday, which, besides being the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, is also the annual Talk to a Lawyer Day. We'll have details where to find that help coming up, including the toll-free number for people to call.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day, among other things, could serve as a reminder of the country's progress in race relations. To understand how far we've come, it's helpful to think about where we started. For Charles Payne, who grew up in Philadelphia, Mississippi in the 1940s and 50s, racist attitudes were casual, woven into the fabric of life. He's now Assistant Provost for Diversity at Ball State University and Director of the school's Office of Institutional Diversity. For him, growing up in the segregated South wasn't the experience of fire hoses and attack dogs that make up the grainy black and white photos of racism. Often, the lines were enforced as simply a way of life.
You weren't friends with white people, with people your age, your friends. I used to caddy at the golf course, and I knew a lot of the white guys. Some of them would come out. Some of the teenage white boys my age would come out. And I had to caddy for them, their dads, and caddy for them. And obviously, we had an interest in each other because we were the same age. But we could never show that. We could never be friends. We could meet on the street, but we just kind of like look and maybe bow. We could never have a conversation with each other about anything. It was always a work relationship.
Tell me about when you first heard about Dr. King and what was going on.
I think my first awareness of him would have been during the Montgomery bus boycott, which was in 1956. If you remember, well, That was the Montgomery bus boycott. Then that was the Little Rock integration of the schools in Little Rock. And then I think maybe New Orleans was after that, and then Birmingham, and then city after city in the 60s.
You lived in the Jim Crow time, experienced racism firsthand. Now, 50 years after you graduated from college, where are we now?
I think we've done quite a bit in terms of removing the physical barriers. For instance, you don't see signs anymore of who can drink here, which restrooms you go in, this sort of thing. I think we've done probably a pretty decent job in desegregating our schools to a degree. We get along very well, it seems as though, in the workplace with one another. People go to work, they laugh, they smile, they get along with each other. But I think on Saturdays and Sundays, we're about as segregated now as we were 50 years ago.
Sunday's the most segregated day of the week when people go to church.
Yeah, when we go to church with that. So I think that's what we have yet to overcome is that kind of interaction, that we become friends not only at work and maybe at school, but in our everyday life and our social. And that's probably going to take time. And while I say that critically, we can sit here and talk about when I grew up in Jim Crow era, and which means that that wasn't that long ago. I think now what we really have to overcome is kind of what do we mean by inclusiveness? How do we really include that? And does diversity and acceptance of that become a part of our values, part of our core? But right now, I still think it's kind of the surface.
You teach at a university. What do you want young folks to know?
I like them to know that the opportunities for them to do whatever they want to do, what are you willing to work for? When I grew up, there was the impression that everything was given to whites. We had to work for it. For whites, it was just given to them. But I think having worked and lived now in this environment, there are white people that work hard also. And so I think that's what people have to realize, that if you want to achieve a lot, you're going to have to work a lot. You're going to have to work hard for it. It doesn't come easy. And there are going to be disappointments. And so having them to understand that by staying focused, they can achieve a lot more than they say probably could 50 years ago.
Have we learned the lessons that Dr. King was trying to teach us?
I think we are. I think we're learning that. It takes a while, and for an individual, that could be your whole life. But I think you're talking generations before people really begin to take advantage of all of the things that he talked about. I think now we're confused, at least it seems to me, sometime about what it means to be liberated. And what I'm thinking about here is that one of the black sports announcers, I hope you're familiar with the RG3, black report. Well, he asked the question, is RG3 black? Because he's Republican and he has a white girlfriend. And I'm thinking now, we're going to have to realize what liberation means. It takes you out of the box. Liberation means that RG3 can be whatever he wants to be. He can date whomever he wants to date. And so I think that we're going to have to get used to seeing people out of those stereotypical roles if we're going to be liberated. And I think that's going to have to work on the part of minorities as well as whites there. And we're going to have to stop asking that question, is so-and-so white enough, or is he black enough, or is he want to be? And all that is that people can be whatever they want. Well, they don't have to stay in those boxes. And that's what, to me, liberation means.
It's always seemed to me part of the message of brotherhood is that if you go back far enough, we are all brothers.
Yeah.
You know, some people may not like that, but mm-hmm. President Obama has white cousins and other relatives in Indiana because his mom and Dunham's family, the Dunhams, came from Tipton County, north of Indianapolis.
You know, that's not too surprising. That's probably more common than people realize. For an example, my name Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, comes from my great-grandfather who was white. And he had a white family, and he also had an Indian woman as a mistress, and he had 13 kids with the Indian lady, my great grandmother, and my great grandfather was one. My grandfather was one of the products, so he was half white, half Indian, and he married an African American lady. And within my family, I often tease and say that Jesse Jackson thinks he started the Rainbow Coalition, but my great granddad was way ahead of it, because in my family, my aunts and aunts ranged from dark to very light skin. So my father was a very light-skinned, but many people thought that he was white, you know, with this. And so in terms of us knowing our relatives, my father knew some of his uncles, his white uncles and things. We didn't associate this with each other. But we knew, my brother and I, we kind of knew them at a distance. And so we would see them in the car. My brother would tease and say, "You look like the one with the big ears." <You know?
laughs> Well, as we go down the road long enough and there are enough families that are blended in that kind of way, are we ever going to get to a time when race simply doesn't matter?
Oh, I think so. I think we're headed that way now. I think when you look at the number of biracial kids, it used to be people rejected them and all of that. That's not true anymore. I think if you look at most of the young quarterbacks, other than for luck, most of those guys are biracial. And so that whole idea of biracial interracial marriage may be our way out of this.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Charles Payne, assistant provost for diversity at Ball State, and a black man who grew up in segregated Mississippi of the 1940s and 50s. When we come back, more on what lawyers are doing across the state for Monday's Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. Why Talk to a Lawyer Day might be smart when you're not sure about your options.
Hold on.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Monday, as part of the Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service, attorneys across Indiana are sponsoring Talk to a Lawyer Day. Ralph Dowling is a Muncie lawyer and former president of the Delaware County Bar Association, which is helping sponsor the free consultations. If you haven't been involved in a case before, you may have still noticed all the commercials on television, billboards even, advertising legal services. Dowling says there's a reason for that.
That's right. And particularly if you have a claim like a personal injury claim, because most lawyers, like I said, myself included, do a free initial consultation, they can sit down with you and explain to you what the risks are of representing yourself and the likely value of the case and what things might during your negotiations trigger the need to go back and hire an attorney, even if at the end of that consultation you want to continue to try to handle it yourself. You at least get an idea of what you should do next. And that's really important to do, because the insurance companies will, to the extent they can, try to settle on their terms. They're profit-making businesses. That's what they try to do. And I've seen people who come to me and it's just too late because they've entered into a settlement and there's no way around it usually. And they didn't know what their rights were. They didn't realize what they were giving up. And so it's always better to at least talk to an attorney, because talking to one doesn't commit you to hiring them. And you can make that clear at the beginning of the consultation with the attorney. And then make your decision after you've advised an attorney or consulted with an attorney. And I usually tell my clients or potential clients, feel free to talk to another lawyer about this stuff too, because another lawyer may view it a little bit differently or a lot differently than I have.
We're still fighting our way through the end of a tough economic period. Has that affected the kinds of cases that you're seeing or that you're aware of?
Yeah, there's a lot more people battling over child support and such, because people who maybe aren't paying their spouse doesn't worry that much, but then they lose their job and they've got to go back to court and try to get that support collected. And from the other side, the spouse who now isn't employed can't pay support, and so sometimes you're in there trying to defend them against a contempt of court citation. There are more people coming in asking questions about landlord-tenant law, because there are more people who are not making their payments. And of course, there's a lot of people coming in with questions about mortgages and all the federal laws to try to change and ease mortgages up. And I really don't do that much. I've done a couple of those, but there's a lot of that going on.
So you've done Talk to a Lawyer Day before. What's in it for the lawyers who participate?
Well, you just get a lot of satisfaction because in your everyday practice, you got a lot of overhead that you have to pay, and you got to charge all of your clients. And there are people who come in you'd like to help, but they can't afford your services. And this is one of the opportunities we have to help people out so we can feel less guilty about the ones we can't help, I guess. You know, these things were organized through what's called District 6 Access to Justice, which is an organization paid for through the Supreme Court of Indiana. Lawyers volunteer to handle certain types of cases through that as well. And so people who can't get into Ask a Lawyer Day or who have something that requires ongoing representation, not just some advice, they can go to www.myjustice.org and find out whether they're eligible because of income to get a volunteer. And they will try to connect them up with somebody who does that area law. The one kind of case that we're seeing more and more of, and it isn't really related to the economy so much, is the third-party custody case. There are many, many grandparents raising their grandchildren because the parents are not doing the job. And there are many, many cases where a child is simply left in the custody of a relative, and then they find out without a custody order or a guardianship or some legal papers, they can't get the medical care they need. They can't get support paid by the parent who ditched them. They can't get enrolled in school, et cetera. And so often, because those very often involve poor families, those folks show up at Ask a Lawyer Day and they have complicated questions. And it is difficult. You've got to file the right paperwork. You've got to get a court order because nothing two people agree to sign is binding unless a judge also signs on it.
There must be times when you're helping people without a lot of means or a lot of resources. If you help somebody understand or make their way through the system, that's got to be kind of satisfying.
Anytime you have a custody case and you really feel like your client is on the right side of what's in the best interest of that child, and you fight and you fight and you fight, whether you're getting paid on that case or not, and sometimes you don't know till the end whether you're going to, and that child ends up in the custody where you, after hearing all the evidence, really think that child needs to be, that's real satisfying. I do a lot of personal injury cases and wrongful death cases, and I've been doing that since I was a law clerk. And, you know, we represented people involved in airplane crashes, infants who were burned over 95% of their body, and we're going to have future medical bills in the millions of dollars. And when that case is over, and either because of a jury verdict or a settlement, you can hand them sometimes millions of dollars to help take care of those medical bills and get themselves rehabbed and get out of foreclosure on their house. It doesn't feel much better than that.
Muncie attorney Ralph Dowling, a former president of the Delaware County Bar Association, which is helping sponsor Talk to a Lawyer Day Monday as part of the Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. This is at the Maring Hunt Library on High Street and at the Bewley Community Center on Penn Street from 10:30 in the morning until 2 p.m. on Monday. There's also a statewide English and Spanish-speaking call-in line, 800-266-2581, which will be available from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop us a note to say hello at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Reminder that we also need your stories, ideas for places we should go, and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.